When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're off.
We're off. I have to tell you about my dream. I almost texted you about it.
I love when you tell me about dreams.
This morning, but I was like, oh, I'm going to talk to her via the pod. So I had a dream that Meryl Streep was playing my mom in some movie.
Yes. Mamie Gummer.
And we were getting...
Northwestern alum, baby.
And we got really close. Mm-hmm. And then we were hanging out because that's what we were doing. And she was taking me on like a studio tour of like Martha Stewart's new something or other. So we were going backstage.
Wow, what a collection of people and references.
Oh, just wait. But then once we get there, I realized that Meryl Streep can go wherever Meryl Streep wants. Oh. She just by nature of being Meryl Streep, like no one questions anything about what she's doing.
Probably
so we
true.
Get there and she has facilitated this like dinner for me with Cynthia Nixon.
Oh my God.
And Meryl Streep is like, Brooke, I know you have this podcast or you had this podcast. Like, and I was like, you have no idea how I feel about Cynthia Nixon, Meryl Streep.
God.
Like this. And then I like literally the whole dream was me just having dinner with Cynthia Nixon.
Wow. So Meryl didn't even stay.
No. She like, I feel like she kept popping. It was a crazy dream. And I was like, I'm manifesting this reality for myself.
Yeah, 100%.
Even wow. The Martha Stewart bits.
No, those are the most important, I think. I'm so curious to hear what Martha Stewart will be up to when you go tour her studio.
It's so weird because I feel like when I have dreams about, like I am like a pretty witchy dreamer, if I do say so myself.
Indeed you are. Wow, what is happening in
some
LA?
Some shit is going down in LA.
West Hollywood, baby.
Here, let me. Apparently
where all
I live
the ambulances
like
are.
A block away from that like government man who like murdered people.
Sorry,
anyway.
Say what now?
Nah, Ed Buck. Just Google it.
Ah, mm-hmm.
But I feel like when I dream about people, they're just like vague interpretations of them, and like sometimes mm-hmm. I like well I'll be like, oh, that's this person in this dream,
right?
But these were like
the people
expertly manifested versions.
They were inceptioned in your dream. This really happened to you.
I mean, I don't know if it was a Mamma Mia thing. Like, I'm just like.
Oh, I didn't even think about that connection. But of course.
Well, I was like, the Meryl Streep that I manifested was Meryl Streep Donna.
Sure. I mean, I should have known intrinsically. The picture is much more complete now. Wow.
It was amazing.
Wow. That's one of those you really don't want to wake up from.
I did not want to wake up, but I was also like, I have to tell Bridget.
I'm so, so thrilled you waited to tell me live, though.
It was like, I think I might have started lucid dreaming because I was like, I'm aware this is a dream and this isn't real, but I want to live here as long as I can.
Your brain probably fed it even harder at that point. That's amazing.
I was like, how much do I have to stay asleep till this becomes a musical?
Until Mr. Mistopheles pops up.
I'm more of a Rum Tum Tugger girl myself.
Oh, I
but
know. Oh,
I appreciate
I know.
It.
I'll do any reference for you, baby, even if it's not correct. Oh my God. Speaking of musicals, I saw the Oklahoma that just opened on Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
And if you, like me, are a New Yorker and have any way to go see it, holy shit, go see it. It's so exquisitely beautiful. And the best part was I'd never seen Oklahoma before in any iteration.
Oh.
So to go in and see like this version, which is word and note, like by the book, by the original production, but just like laid bare and so like chillingly relevant. And I've been thinking about it all day.
That's my favorite space on Broadway, the Circle and the Square.
I love that space. The only other thing I'd seen there was Fun Home, but I mean, my memories of that are glowing.
The 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee was at the Circle and the Square.
A classic.
Once on This Island was at Circle and the Square.
I wish I'd seen that.
Abigail Breslin in The Miracle Worker.
Oh, essential. Holy shit. Why was that not first?
Because that's not one of my favorites. But it also shares a breezeway with the Wicked Theater, which
it
is.
It sure does. I do love that breezeway.
I love that breezeway. I used to, my very first apartment in New York was two avenues west of that breezeway. So I would make a point to visit it as often as possible.
Just soak in the green.
Yeah. I need the record to state that I gave Fred the cat a treat so he would not annoy me with his meowing. And he is standing outside of my door meowing. And I'm like, I've spent the whole day at home. It's my day off. And I've been looking for second jobs because I'm broke because of my car. And Fred has paid no attention to me whatsoever. And now all of a sudden he is a tenor.
He doesn't want to miss his opportunity. You know, he knows when that red light goes on and when we're recording.
He's waited for it. The red light. He wants
exactly. Fucking yeah. Yep.
Fake record podcasting. The secret room.
Holy shit. I expect a full recording of your rewrite later. So how you doing, my friend?
I'm good. I'm tired. Yeah. How are you?
Yeah. Also that, you know, I'm good. I'm good. I had my annual review at work today.
Oh, you did? That was today.
Yeah. I didn't know until I got to work this morning and got a calendar invite. But first of all, it was really funny because when we put in like video requests for meetings, they'll like put you in a conference room and then someone will like set up the video for you between the offices. And there are a ton of conference room, so usually we're in like a small one, and it was just me and my boss, and she was in like a tiny conference room and I was in the biggest one in the New York office by myself with just this enormous table full of empty chairs around me. It was so fucking funny.
That's so funny.
But it was also it was just really nice, and like it was good to talk about my job because we're kind of like making it up and happen from the beginning. But also, yes. I don't know if you know this about Brooke and I, but we love praise.
We love validation and praise.
So it was a good day for that. And my friend Amy from Ireland, one of my au pair friends who lives in Arizona, was flying back to Ireland today, and she had an 18-hour layover. She got in super early this morning and then came into the city, and I got to see her for coffee, and it was the best. Also, she has listened to this podcast since like day one and is the best person. And it was so good to see her, and really crazy that we were in Ireland together now 3 years ago.
Wow.
I know.
I'm updating our Instagram right now.
Oh, that's a good thing to do.
I'm posting.
Splat-tasking.
I'm posting this.
Mm-hmm. I'm very curious. Brooke is about to post a meme, and you will all have already seen it at this point when this comes out if you follow us, but like, really want to know your thoughts on it. It puts me in some very unexpected categories, and it's about the Zodiac, and if you like us, you'll look at it.
Yes. We're both surprised by our rising signs.
I'm surprised by my whole thing, you know?
Really?
I think I'm least like Miranda emotionally. I think I'm like her in all the other ways. A double Samantha? My strongest two signs.
Okay. Hi, Bridget.
Hi, Brooke.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to
Splat,
the podcast where me, Brooke,
and me, Bridget,
talk about
sex in the city. 10 years younger.
And 20 years later.
We were so close and I done effed it up.
I feel like the other times it'd been better.
Really? I mean, I did double do it, but we did the things together. Yeah, I did double do it. We nailed it. Whatever. It doesn't. Here's the secret. It does not matter.
I think it does.
Okay. Well, in that case, should we just call it a day?
Yep. Thank you so much. This has been Splat the Podcast.
We just spent 6 minutes doing an Instagram on recording, and you didn't get to hear it, but we're going to piece out now. So.
Yeah, that took a lot of energy out of me.
Yeah, I don't think I have. I mean, splat, you know, and then splat.
Well, speaking of splat,
I you was guys, indeed. We've reached the namesake. It is our podcast. Baptism episode.
We're 18. We can buy cigarettes.
That's right. And we now know where our name comes from if you're me.
Yes.
And let me tell you, if I had not known what it was, essentially, I would have shrieked aloud. It's so startling and upsetting.
It is very intense. Yep. This episode is, if nothing else, intense.
And we don't mean we're camping. That was a joke for your dad and your dad alone, because I think he'll appreciate it. And
he will appreciate
it. No one else will.
No, I think there are former listeners of the pod that would appreciate it. But
okay, I appreciate that. I appreciate that appreciation that doesn't exist.
Yes. If you're out there, we know you'd like that joke.
Thanks. That's what everyone's here for, is my impeccable sense of humor.
You guys, I have things to tell you.
Please tell us.
Well, Bridget is coming to visit me in LA in T-minus 2 weeks.
It's so exciting. And as I hoped, it's going to time out that we're going to record episode 20, the finale of the season and series, while I'm there. So just if you turn the episode on and it shorts your headphones out, that's why.
Because we will be screaming.
It'll just, the energy will just
basically
explode.
Like, she's gonna arrive from the airport and I'm just gonna slide headphones on. I'm gonna be like, we just gotta run with this adrenaline.
Exactly. In the car, in Bruce, on the LA Bruce. highway. I-5, baby.
The LA highway.
Are there more things that you want to tell us, or is that just the most important thing?
There is nothing more important than you visiting me.
It's true. It's so true.
Yeah, I'm so fucking excited.
It's going to be great. Brooke's planning away. I'm putting a lot of pressure on her to show me around a city that she's lived in for 2.5 months.
I'm like, except
as I said, I'll
power.
Be happy with anything.
I can take you confidently to and from the core powers, 3 different core powers.
I mean, if you couldn't, there would be no point in me coming. So shall we get to the splat?
Is there any other housekeeping? Oh my gosh. I cannot believe that we didn't do this last week, but I just want to wish a now very belated birthday to dear
oh my God, yes.
friend and listener of the podcast, Emily Stout. Happy
Whom
birthday.
We love so much, and who was on the pod previously.
You are
a beam of sunshine.
Yeah. We are obsessed with you.
It's true. So just know
if that makes you uncomfortable.
Deal with it.
Deal with it.
Go to acting school and be amazing.
Are there any other birthdays?
Class, no, who's bringing cupcakes this week?
Well, our little lady across the Skype or the FaceTime has a birthday coming up.
Indeed, it is. But the important thing, once again, is that I'll be spending it with you in LA. So, and we're back to the facts.
Never forget it.
Ari and I are having a party on Friday, and which we're very sad Brooke can't be there for, but a couple of people, including Brooke, were like, is this your birthday party? And I was like, oh, hadn't even occurred to me, honestly. Just seemed like a really good date to
sometimes
throw
you just
a rager.
You need to rage.
A cleansing rager, you know?
You know, physically rage, alcoholically rage, mentally rage.
Exactly right.
If I don't get a FaceTime I will be mad.
I mean, probably several.
Oh, no. If Jessie's there, then yes, she loves to call me from a party. Mm-hmm. And I love to be like, no. Uh-huh. But
this party? This party? Yeah. So, anyway. Splat, baby. Here we go. Splat. Episode 18, season 6, Sex in the City. Let's do it.
Splat. 3, 2, 1. We begin. We begin with another weirdly culturally appropriative Rasta hat.
Yep. Carrie is swinging her way through those winding doors.
And she's having lunch with Enid Frick of Vogue.
Her old editor, who she ended up not really working with. I mean, she didn't want to work with him. And then she had that really weird, terrible guy who tried to have sex with her. Yeah, exactly. And then Enid became her boss at Vogue. And she invites Carrie to a party.
Lunch. And is like, can you bring Alexander Petrovsky? And also, can you ask him if he has any single friends? Because I can't believe I have to ask this. But everyone at this party will be partnered up except for me. And I need a date.
And she just really doesn't want to do that. Which is funny because it's like not unlike fears and conversations Carrie has had before. Mm-hmm. And Enid also said there are no exciting prospects for her. And she was like, I thought someone from Alexander's crowd might be right for me. And then she says, please never mention this conversation to anyone at Condé Nast.
And so then the waiter comes and like Enid tries to order the torte dorado, which is a type of fish. And he's like, well, actually, we recommend the dorado for two people.
It's huge. And Enid's like, you even have to be in a couple to order fish in this town. And then Carrie says she'll have the Dorado. And Enid's like, do you even like Dorado? Or are you just ordering
it? Is this a pity Dorado? Yeah,
if so, I'll have the crab cakes. And Carrie insists. And she says, the thing is, I'm not sure if Alexander is a let's set people up kind of guy, which is a fair question.
He's Russian. And Enid goes, I got you a job. You get me a man. Because nothing is free in this world.
Mm-hmm. Later that evening, the couple I was in had a couple to, I'm taking it back, folks. God bless you. Later that evening, the couple I was in had a couple of hours to prepare a dinner party for a couple of couples. You can see why it did not do that in passing.
She went to theater school.
Oh, yes. I'm putting that one into the warm-up routine.
He gets the Barolo, which is a good wine.
Mm-hmm. So he is having all of Carrie's friends and their partners over to his house for dinner. And he's cooking. It's gorgeous. Carrie is wearing a prom dress.
And she's asking if he has any single friends. And he's sort of like, he's like not into that. And he's like, well, what about your friends? And she goes, well, all my friends are taken. And then she stops and is like, wow, I've never said that before.
And you have that feeling too, the scene. I mean, they're all about to be there for dinner, but looking around the table with 8 people, you know, it's just like, oh, wow. Yes. That's a different feeling.
That's a dinner party.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells her that he is going to Paris. And
the next
he doesn't
week.
Know when he's coming back because of his art
exhibition.
And Carrie's like, well, someone leaving for Paris is not foreign to me.
Which, right. Big has done before. And then he says to her, I was hoping you'd come with me.
You to come with me.
And she says to Paris. And she says, for who knows when we'll come back. And he said, yes, I need you there. Because he doesn't know how long he's going to be there. He said that to her. And then the doorbell goes and he says,
and Carrie voiceover
the caviar, and just
about,
like leaves her there. So nothing has been decided. He's just kind of dropped this on her.
And Carrie's like, it's very important that your boyfriend and your friends get along. Oh, and Stanford is there too.
Stanford is there. That's right. There are 9 of them, which is lovely. I'm glad Stanford is there. Oh, no. And Marcus is there too.
Marcus
is there. Of course. How could I forget? It's all of them. And
Samantha
is dressed as an extra out of, well, no, Cleopatra. Actually, as well, she's yes, but I was going to say out of Chicago, but also she's just Catherine Zeta-Jones right now. But she tells a story about how she thinks her maid is using the vibrator, and then they're arguing at the dinner table jokingly about like what part of that isn't kosher to say anymore, calling her a maid or talking about vibrators, and Alexander is just like unamused. And so Carrie's kind of on edge a little bit, as you would be when you're, you know, doing this kind of big introduction.
And there's this funny interaction about Billy Joel and Steve is trying to connect.
They're talking about playing the piano and Steve asks if he knows any Billy Joel.
And he just starts listing off his discography.
Like Piano Man and stuff. And Alexander just kind of shrugs. Like, to be fair, he's not giving them a lot to work with. And then Charlotte makes the mistake of calling his work sculpture, which it's not really, but still
no,
he says...
No, it's like multimedia.
Yeah. And Carrie chimes in with something about how it's like a light experience, whatever, and he calls it something else. But they start talking and arguing about Paris. Someone says they don't like Paris. I don't know who, because there are so many people at this table.
I don't like Paris.
And Alexander is talking about how it's his favorite place and how there's nowhere like it. And he says, you'll see, Carrie. And so, of course, everyone is
like, Arrow.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well, she's going there with me indefinitely.
And Carrie is like, well, yes, there was an invitation to go to Paris. Like, very
and
carefully.
So, cut to the four of them on Petrovsky's bed. And they're all like,
later, my friends
me?
Wanted a tour of the apartment, a.k.a. time to ask me what the hell was going on, which I love. And they're kind of, it's really cute. They're all just hanging out on his big, lovely bed and interrogating her, really. How long would you go? Where would you live? Is there a guest room? Are you really thinking of going? And Carrie's like, I don't know. I haven't digested it. I haven't even digested dinner.
And she's like, this is the most romantic thing that's ever happened. And then Stanford comes in and is like, excuse me, time's up. I cannot pretend to be a boy any longer.
He's like, well, I think he says one of the boys.
Fair.
Slight difference. But he comes in and they all kind of take pity on him and go back downstairs. So I spoke to my girlfriends and they have a few questions about Paris, Carrie says, of course, positing it like through them instead of just being
she
like,
asks
I
the
have
logistics
questions
about like getting their own places. And he's like, no,
I want you there with me.
I cannot live without you.
And to be fair, these are extremely valid questions that I would hope she would be asking, even if she's pretending they're just her friend's questions. But yeah, he says, you'll live with me. I have a beautiful apartment on the left bank, but it's being remodeled. So I would say we would stay at the Plaza Athene. Okay, but are we talking a year indefinitely?
And he says,
do I need to learn French? Would I be able to work there? And what about my cell phone? Would my cell phone work there? Which like, yes, girl, asking the important questions.
And she's like, what about my apartment here? Do I sublet it? And he offers to fucking pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
sort of like the like opposite of big.
Yes, it's almost like giving too much.
Not in a way that like I would say that like Aiden was like the opposite of big. This is like a peer of like two sides of the same spectrum.
Yeah, I would agree. They're both. He's now going to a different extreme, which is kind of all the more out of the blue because he hasn't really been like that so far, you know? I mean, he's
except
extreme
for his,
in
like,
the way he, like, keeps himself and, you know, practices and... But what were you going to say? Except for what?
His, like, adoration of Carrie.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So they go to brunch the next morning and the girls have more questions.
And Miranda especially is very tense.
Yeah.
And not happy.
Yeah. And kind of doing a little bit of a lawyer thing. And she keeps harping on Carrie's job and how, and she says, you're all about New York. How would, and Carrie's kind of burst. She's like, I don't know. I got all your previous questions answered and they were good ones. I got answers and they were good ones, by the way. So like, I would just like you guys to be excited for me, please. And Samantha says, we are. And Carrie's like, no, forget it. And Charlotte, who really has been sweet about it from the beginning, is like, I think it's so romantic. And Miranda kind of defends with saying, you know, we just want to make sure you're thinking it through. And Carrie, at this point, from this point forward, she kind of does what she did with Alexander about the about like the story about his dead friend, where she's just like, she's at done point and she just like can't listen beyond this. She's, which to be fair, it's pretty intense.
I do.
Yeah. But she's not going to listen. She says, also says to them, yeah, say it.
No, you say.
She basically says, I just want you guys to be excited for me, especially when I've always been excited for you.
Yes, it's finally her time. And then she goes to say, they say the unexamined life is not worth living. But what if the examining becomes your life? Is that living or just procrastinating? And what if all those helpful lunches and late night phone calls to friends have made us all girl talk and no girl action? Is it time to stop questioning?
I think with the exception of the like girl talk part of it, it's actually a pretty great question.
Yeah.
About.
I think it's a, I like really resonate with that. Yes. I feel like I've spent the past 6 months being like, what if I moved to, like, what would be happen if I moved to LA? What would happen if I moved to LA?
Yeah. And at a certain point you just had to do it and you did it.
You know. In the great Broadway musical Wicked.
Uh-huh. So glad that's the second time it's come up already.
I don't have the memory. I can't think of it, but it says, you know, Fiero pontificates, you know, why invite stress in? Stop studying strife and learn to live the unexamined life.
Oh, my which God. Is
basically, Carrie is suggesting that. What if we just, you know,
in this essay, I will.
In this essay, I will compare the I Wonder thesis of Carrie Bradshaw in season 6, episode 18 of Sex and the City to Stephen Schwartz's iconic dance party song, Dancing Through Life, track 7 on the CD of Wicked.
In order to more fully ascertain whether or not
I'm so
we
sorry.
Need balance
it's track
between
six.
Questioning.
It's track 6. Popular
Thank
7.
Thank God we did not put this out without the correction in there.
I can't. My fans will come for me. All of you, I hear you.
Screaming in agony.
I have a brand to uphold.
And uphold it you do like Atlas himself, baby. On those gorgeous shoulders. Yeah, it's a good question about at what point being thorough and thoughtful and, you know, thinking everything through means that you're avoiding actually doing the things, you know?
Well, it's action versus inaction. And also, like, I feel like Carrie is also the queen of talking around something.
Mm-hmm.
Come going to her friends to get the answers that she wants rather than the answer that she needs. And it seems like for the first time, her friends aren't giving her the answer that she wants.
Totally.
And it's forcing her to leave the voices inside of her head and now confront the cat on her fire escape.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the ears, the whiskers, rather.
And that cat will take her to Paris.
Will it?
I mean, yes. I only know that because of the damned episode titles.
I don't know. It could be talking about Paris, Texas.
Now that would be a twist.
Petrovsky just like pops her on a plane to Texas.
And that's his favorite city in the world. I think, though, there's something to be said for Miranda's side of thing. Because, you know, because action without any thought at all in just sheer impulse is often not, you know, necessarily the right or healthy or best or whatever thing. But also sometimes it's not every action has to be good. You know, sometimes it's better to do and, you know, see where the cards fall than not. And sometimes you have to.
Absolutely.
And I think Carrie's just confronting, like, what her identity is in this moment in her life and what it's going to be from here. And her this is a really big, you know, she has to. It is actually a have to, I think. Mm-hmm. She has to decide. Beep boop.
Oh, in every episode of the series,
yes, isn't this fascinating?
There's been a question involved with Carrie's writing. The moment Carrie changes the question mark to a period in this episode,
which she does at the end of the last question, the is it time to stop questioning?
Carrie changes the question mark to a period. She doesn't write anything until the very end of the series.
Right. So this
is
like interesting. She puts a symbolic period at the end of.
Because she's going to have to quit her job at the New York Star.
Which we, spoiler, she does in this episode. So this is it. This is her last. It's almost like a subconscious decision in and of itself.
Here we go.
And
so Harry and this Charlotte plotline, Bridget, it's really fucking dumb.
I feel like the minute that they gave Samantha something real, they were like, now we have to counter this with some other dumb shit. And it got heaped on Charlotte.
So Charlotte Harry's like, someone's gotten a little chunky. And
she's feeding the dog French fries. And to be fair, and Harry's like, someone's getting a little chunky. And Charlotte legitimately tears up a little and is like, that's not very nice to say. And
he's like, no, the dog. And it turns out Elizabeth Taylor has gained 4 pounds in I don't know how many months because time doesn't exist on this show.
No. And she also doesn't look any different. She's still a tiny dog. So Charlotte takes her to a pet store in her hot little hands. And she says she's getting fat. And he's like, what? And she says, I know that's an ugly word, but it's just, you know, I needed advice. And he looks up at her and he goes, she's not getting fat. She's pregnant.
Cut to Charlotte scrubbing the tub like Lady Macbeth.
Truly. Out, damn spot, baby. Because
and she's talking about how everyone around her is getting pregnant.
Because she cannot handle the fact that her dog is getting pregnant. And Harry makes
a joke.
From a
gang bang in the park.
Harry makes a joke about 8 dogs. And Charlotte says something about an unpedigreed family, because of course she does. And the dog walks in and Charlotte whips her head around and goes, Elizabeth Taylor, I love you, but mommy can't look at you right now. My God. And she goes back to scrubbing the tub. You know what?
Okay.
To her credit, Kristen, sweet Kristen's credit, like, she goes all in on this. And I think it would be harder to watch if she didn't. You know, she works with what she's given. She commits to the fullness of being Charlotte, even in these moments.
Yeah. So Carrie's at a bookstore with a young Elaine
Stritch. It's really insane. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Brooke. Ellen Stritch.
I will throw you out of the window.
It's Samantha in a really great wig.
Samantha in a bad wig.
She also is a little bit Rizzo from Grease. I just how she's leaned into this. But she's talking with Carrie about what Carrie wants to do and how great Alexander is, which she truly thinks he is.
She says, I really like him. And like, I can't fathom moving anywhere, especially not across the world for someone you really like.
I mean, Carrie's world isn't really a real world, which is, I think, why I have sort of strong feelings about the end of this episode. And I'm curious if we will cross over on those. But
my dating MO is that of a wanderlust. We'll see.
Indeed. Well, I mean, in similar ways, me. But you know she, hang on. Wait, hang on. We might have similar things to say about this. Let's pause it real fast. But before I lose the thought in my head, the only real risk she's taking is quitting her job, which, yes, is, you know, her brand. But like, if she were to come back to New York, I'm pretty sure she could replicate that magic. He's paying for her apartment, so it's still going to be there. And she gets to go have a pretty much all expenses paid romp in Paris.
Well, I don't understand why she has to quit her job. Is it because it's a New York themed?
I think so. And I think
column.
Yeah, I think so. Because it's about, you know, her life in New York. But she says later in the episode that she tried to sell them a like American Girl in Paris thing that they didn't settle for. She tries. Were you going to say that Carrie is doing the most asinine way of learning a language where she's walking down the street listening to French tapes, but she's just listening to this woman say things in French? No repeating them. No.
Oh, I wanted to. Yes, I didn't even. Didn't even acknowledge that that's what was happening. I was so gobsmacked by the Walkman that was on screen.
Yes. It's
for just a mere
incredible
5 seconds that I couldn't have told you. She could have been listening to the Beastie Boys for all I care.
That's a much less fussy reason to be shocked by this scene. I was just like, she walks for a while. I mean, she goes through a lot of phrases and Carrie's just like placidly listening, which is just not how you learn a language.
Uh-huh. Well, they didn't have Duolingo, okay?
She also... it's not like English sentence, French sentence. It's literally just a tape of a woman saying things in French. Like, there is no way Carrie understands what's happening.
That's so funny. So now she's putting earrings on.
Yep. And she looks beautiful.
And he keeps being like, so are we going to Paris?
He says, are you coming? And she says, yeah, I'm putting my earrings on. And he says, no, to Paris. She's like, well, I'm thinking about it. I haven't decided yet, which I think is honest of her. And he says, I'm inviting you to France, not to jail.
And she goes, I have more questions. And he goes, is that even possible?
Which also, like, okay, dude, give her a little understanding that this is kind of
an
enormous decision.
He's less cute now.
Yes. Well, they have pushed him over a character edge, you know. She says, could we stay in New York and just go to Paris for a few months for your show? And he's like, no, I'm done with New York. I need
it's
to be in
time
Paris
for
now.
Paris.
I have been here for 3 years. I'm finished with New York.
And Carrie's like, well, I'm not finished with New York because she never will be.
No, it's part of her identity.
It's part of who she is.
Carrie, New York City Bradshaw.
And she offers up the idea of long distance, which Alexander Petrovsky knows better than to curse yourself with
God.
That.
Also, just like, that's not what either of you actually want to do here. You know, like, this isn't even, no, that would just.
I also don't know why Carrie decides they're like having this conversation and she's shocked. And so she just makes direct eye contact with herself
in the mirror. It's so funny. He's basically
now,
like, I don't like long distance for a lot of reasons. And, you know, someone meets someone. And now we are at a party.
The party.
Enid comes over. She greets Petrovsky. And Carrie introduces her date, who is hidden behind her completely because.
And it's character actor Wallace Shawn.
Oh, God.
Who,
it's so
if
good.
If you Google him,
a little princess
exactly
bride.
He is.
A little princess bride in our Sex in the City. It's exactly what I needed today. Martin is a food critic for Bon Appetit. And Enid is obviously,
I mean,
like, not thrilled.
Yes, food critic for Bon Appetit.
Right? Right? Go on the dates just to see where he would take you.
Lily and I spent, like, 25 minutes just watching Bon Appetit test kitchen videos. Mm. In fact, that's what I'm going to do.
I love
do
those.
After we
I
hang
love
up.
Those test kittens. Kitchens.
Test kittens.
Holy shit. We at Splat Podcast do not test on animals. I please do not sue us.
Test kit.
Carrie is left in the position to explain to Enid because Alexander takes the date, Martin, I think his name is, away. And Carrie's like, he's really sweet and smart. And this woman, Lexi Featherstone, comes in like brash and loud. And I think she
Carrie
was in.
Bradshaw.
She's been in other stuff for sure.
Yeah.
And she like ditzies her way through the party. So Miranda and Steve are at home getting in bed, which makes sense because Carrie's out at a party.
Yeah, I love them. And they're in Brooklyn now.
Yep. And
they're
getting
married.
And Steve's basically like, I know, me too. They get in bed in sync. It's so cute. And Steve is basically like, are you still talking about Alexander? And Miranda's like, he's pretentious. And, you know, and Steve finally, after a few minutes, is like, all right, he was kind of full of himself. And Miranda goes, thank you. And he goes, hey. The kid's asleep. It's so cute. I love
we
Dad
love
Steve
them.
So much.
Dad Steve, it also like.
And then he rolls
Miranda
over. I know. He rolls over and spoons her after he turns the lights out. And he's like, it'll be okay. If she moves, it'll be okay.
And Miranda's just like, she can't move.
She says, I bet she won't. She's got too much here. And.
Huh. It's funny when our friends try to tell us.
Uh-huh. Or themselves.
How and what we feel about certain places.
Yep. So, oops, it's so funny. I just got what you're saying to me. I'm there with you. Where you will or won't go. Carrie has basically found herself basically stuck on a date with the food critic who's talking to her about cheese,
which honestly,
I was like, I would love to have this conversation at a party. Holy shit.
And Enid is talking Petrovsky's ears off.
And Carrie's like, somehow we switched dates and she's feeling a little uncomfortable. And so she dips out of her conversation and goes over to the couch. And Enid is saying, like, I have to tell you, I've been a fan of yours for longer than I'd care to admit. And he says, I have been doing my work for longer than I'd care to admit. And Carrie is wearing, like, a really cute
she
little
flapper
dress.
She looks so cute. It's like a flapper dress. And
she comes over and Enid says, oh, are you always this attentive? Like, kind of, like, sort of making fun of Carrie for coming over to check
really
on them.
And then there's this really weird scene.
And
where she goes,
sends, Carrie sends, what's his name off?
Alex.
that guy for a martini. Yes. And then there's
and
a weird
Enid
scene.
And Enid is like, why am I not with him? And Carrie's like, because I am. And she's like, but he's my age and I should be with him.
Well, and Carrie, at first Carrie's like, what are you doing? Which is a little intense, but like, yeah, go get your man. But Enid is basically like, it's not fair. He's my age and you've got him. So like, I mean, Enid is kind of crazy. She's like crazy. The old and hardened version of the worst of all of them, you know, in some ways.
Ooh,
the worst
yeah.
tropes of this show. Mm, yes. But she kind of has a point where she's like, I'm a successful 50-something woman and the pool for me is so small that it's a waiting pool because
it's funny because I feel like in the same way that like Carrie was like men our age are going to date women 10 years younger than us,
Enid it holds true yeah
men my age are going to date women your age,
which I think it says something about a cultural standard that is true across generations.
It's and snowing and they walk in on Kristen still, Johnston
still true too
doing coke
Kristen still Johnston true, yes. aka Lexi Featherstone. And she's doing coke in the bathroom. And Carrie's like, wow, people still do coke?
And she's like, nope.
Unfortunately. God, Carrie, I'm 40 years old. Can you fucking believe it? Don't answer that. And she says, remember when we used to go to Tunnel? We were like 5. And she asks if Carrie needs to pee. And Carrie's like, no, I was just trying to escape this party for a minute.
And Featherstein is like, God, I don't even know why I'm at this party. We're the only 2 single girls here. Can you believe it? And Carrie's like, I'm not. And she goes, fuck you, and walks out.
And laughs, but she laughs. She's like very much that kind of just like brash, loud, fun. She's a party girl who has, everyone else has outgrown her. She is perhaps the opposite end of an Enid.
Yes. Cut to Lady Macbeth scrubbing away at the kitchen floor.
indeed. And Harry is like, again, what is time on this show? Or I guess she was very pregnant and they just didn't realize because Harry is like, you're going to have to come see the dog because she's giving birth in the tub right
and
now.
Suddenly, maternal instincts kick in.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Veterinary degree.
I know. Mommy's
and Charlotte
coming.
Is able to deliver these 3 puppies. Also, I guess that she's a small dog, but don't puppies normally have like 8 dog puppies at a time?
It depends on the breed. Different ones have different amounts. And so there, Carrie and Alexander are chatting up another couple who are talking about how they live in Calcutta half the time and LA half the time. And then the man is like, well, I'm not. She hates LA. And she's like, frozen yogurt isn't real. And then
that's all it is here. It's just yep. mountains of frozen yogurt.
Just store after store of frozen yogurt. And she stays in Calcutta the whole year. And so, of course, the minute they walk away, Carrie's like, look, that works for them. We could spend time apart. And Alexander's like, no.
He's like, I can't do a single thing without you.
But he's also, I mean, his point is like, I want to be with you. I want to wake up with you. I want you to be there when I come home.
I can't understand or comprehend someone feeling that way about someone else. So I am projecting.
You know that's not true.
We can talk about that off air.
All right. Shall we three-way conference listen?
Yeah, you guys, I'm desperate for a therapist.
So Lexi is walking around the party with a cigarette in her hand in this very nice apartment asking for a light. She asks Enid, and who's like, she was rather rude. I don't even know how she got in here.
And Wallace is like, excuse me, she told you not to smoke. And she's like, oh, these old people.
Well, so she's trying to open a window, which first of all, I don't know why someone would have these massive floor to ceiling windows that high up in their building. Cause it's terrifying. Like you wouldn't, why you would ever open them. I mean, I like the windows.
I don't think you would open them, but I think that's, you just don't open them.
Well, yeah. But there are windows that just don't open, you know, like why would you need to open that floor to ceiling? There. Yeah.
And
anyway,
and
Lexi
Johnson is talking about how New York is dead. It's done.
Because
it's
Wallace
over.
Comes over, the Martin comes over and is like, the host asks you not to smoke. And so she kind of goes on this, like, she has a monologue about how boring everyone has become. And she says, God, I'm so bored I could die at the end of it. And then slips on her Manolo, grabs the curtain, whacks the window open, and falls out. And everyone freaks out, understandably. It is truly shocking. And Carrie, like, just turns and, slams into Alexander's chest, buries her head, and his drink sloshes. Like, it's very, everyone has the appropriate, very strong reactions.
And that's why the
horrifying.
Episode is called Splat.
Fascinating thing. So they do these shots of New York the next morning covered in snow. It had started snowing a few hours after the party and hadn't stopped. So this isn't stock footage of New York covered in snow. It was actually shot by the producers, and it's the only shot of New York in the whole show that doesn't have one of the girls in it, one of the women.
How interesting.
So they like really wanted that aesthetic. Because they do beautiful shots of like empty New York streets in the snow. Yeah. And then our favorite family in Brooklyn is making snow angels in their backyard.
Yeah, and Charlotte lifts off of the puppies off of a newspaper that just says splat on it.
With an exclamation point as the headline. And because all the papers have, obviously, are running the story.
All the page 60 papers.
Exactly. 2 days later, we said goodbye to our snow angel. Wait, she tripped on her Manolo? Stanford, like, kind of can't get enough. And he wasn't there, so he feels kind of removed from it in that way that he's, like, joking inappropriately already.
I need details. Last words, and Carrie just goes, "The scandal of the century." I'm so bored. I could die. God bless you.
Thank you. And Stanford is like, no, of course. And Carrie, like, kind of can't joke with him in the same. I mean, she's indulging it a little, but she was there and witnessed it. And it obviously is not up for humor in the way the rest of them are. Stanford goes in.
This woman was the it girl in the 80s.
Yeah. So Stanford goes in to sit with Marcus, who's saving them seats next to, I don't know, Hugh Jackman or someone.
Yeah, the greatest showman himself.
Of course, who was relevant then, too. I love that. And it's just the four of them.
And then this weird moment where Enid walks in with whatever his name is, Martin Wallace Shawn. Wallace.
And Carrie has kind of like a moment smiling at her, and Enid kind of looks like she's accepting her death sentence. But
well, also a woman fell 18 stories out of her apartment building.
Which is, yeah, very understandable that you would feel shitty and sad on a day like that. But Carrie says something about it being the end of an era, about Featherstone, Kristen, the woman who died. All of those identities are her. And yep. They get distracted. And then she tells them she's going to Paris.
And they're like, because a woman fell out a window? And Carrie goes, no, because I want to open up a new one.
Which, sure. And then they ask her a few questions, including especially Miranda. And she's like, we are done with the portion question of this. She just shuts them down completely, which maybe not the time and place, but to be fair, it's shocking news, sort of. And she leaves them.
Wait a minute. Miranda is wearing a constable hat with a green tie wrapped around it.
Yes, she sure is. Miranda makes some bold choices
and
weird
directions.
This is like
Leprechaun.
I was going to say, she is a leprechaun in this right now. She 100%.
Not that we don't adore Tony, Grammy, and Emmy Award winner Cynthia Nixon.
I just know she didn't make these wardrobe choices for herself, you know? Mm-hmm. And Miranda asks Carrie if she wants to walk after the funeral. And they're going to go to get food. Hello. Carrie and Miranda are walking to go get food because Miranda asked her if she wanted to. And Carrie tells her that she quit her job, which Miranda's kind of shocked by.
And she's like, Carrie, that's who you are. And Carrie goes, no, it's not.
It's what I do.
It's what I do, which I found very interesting.
I do too, and I'm not sure Carrie fully believes it, but maybe it's good to move on from that anyway. But she says she tried to, you know, sell them on American Girl in Paris, and she's like, maybe they'll hand my job to a, you know, 29-year-old with new stories. And Miranda says, I think you're making a mistake. And Carrie is like, fuck you, basically. Yeah. And she says, like, why can't you be, you know, they go back and forth a little bit. And Miranda's like, I'm allowed to have an opinion. And Carrie's like, yeah, you are, but it's a stupid one and you keep making it and I don't want to hear it. Why can't you just be happy for me?
And she's like, I can't stay in New York and be single for you.
Has definite truth in it. But Miranda says, I don't need you to be here and be single, you know, like she's like, I'm talking about for you, you're giving everything up. And Carrie has valid points in that everyone around her has moved on, and she's like, I can stay here and not move on, or I can go with him and live my life. And Miranda says,
well, his life, which isn't wrong.
No, it's not. And that's why I think it hurts Carrie so much, because Carrie whirls around and leaves. And Miranda says, Carrie, I love you. Don't go.
And she's like, just say it. You don't like him. And Miranda says,
fine, I don't.
I don't like him.
And Carrie is like, I'm fucking going to Paris. Bye-bye. So Let me strut away.
Well, good thing you're not going to Paris with him.
Yeah. And then she goes and is on a sleigh pulled by a horse with so much blush on her cheeks.
No, Little Women style.
And she says she's not going to question anything, including where on earth he found a sleigh pulled by a horse in Central Park.
I think it's a carriage, not a sleigh, but I like the idea of it being a sleigh.
But it is, but it's like a snow carriage. It's not one of the Central Park carriages, you know?
Sure.
Maybe it is. Maybe I'm crazy. Did I imagine? Ugh, my brain. Oh, no. The still for the next episode has a face in it I really didn't want to see. I mean, I know it's coming, but I'm so mad for the next up.
So that is it, you guys.
That is Splat.
That is Splat.
Believe it or not, Splat, the episode by me, Brooke, and me, Bridget.
we wrote it.
Wow. It's a big one in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Should we talk about that Miranda Carey conversation at the end? Because we didn't really dwell on it.
Oh, yeah. Let's absolutely do that.
How do you feel about that?
I see both sides.
I think I do, too. But I also...
I just wish that the reason Carey was leaving was for Carey and not for a man.
I feel that also. And I think I agree with you that I see both sides. But I think so much of what Carrie does in this episode with regards to like her friends' reactions is done out of defensiveness, because while she is right that like she can go and live her life, the thing that's in Paris for her is Alexander. That's it. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. And she could build a life there. And maybe that's, you know, what she will end up doing, everyone. But I don't know that she's being fully honest with herself. But also, yeah, what an opportunity, you know?
Yeah, totally. But I think it's, like, hard. I think Miranda's, like, been fighting, like, settling into married life.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Carey already. And, like, already feels distance being in
Brooklyn. Which Carrie also says, like, you moved to Brooklyn. And Miranda's like, yeah, Brooklyn, not Paris. But yeah, no, Miranda's definitely fearful here, and I get that. I mean, hello, can relate to your best friend moving somewhere else and being really scared about that.
Yeah, and more than just me. Like, your best friends are all on the West Coast, except for Ari.
No,
not
truly.
All of them, obviously. But
no,
like,
but I have moved away from all of my best friends, or had them move away at some point. Yeah. Yeah, it's very true. And, like, I've lived abroad. You know, I've done that thing. It's a pretty big undertaking.
Yeah.
But it wasn't indefinite, but still.
Yeah.
It's also interesting that Carrie's been so disdainful of, like, travel before now. Also, she, like, doesn't like his espressos, you know? And he takes her to the opera and she wants to go to McDonald's. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know that she is a Paris girl. I'm sure there are parts of it she'd love, but...
Yeah, she... Well, again, I couldn't tell you how long they've been dating.
No.
But we all know my stance on...
We only know
moving
it's a few
somewhere
months.
For someone slash...
Oh, we do.
You know...
I mean, I feel that strongly, too. We've talked about it before, but, like, we talked about it with Aiden, you know? When you haven't spent, I don't know, at least a full year every
season. When you don't know the ugly part of a
person
yet,
yeah.
How can you...
If you haven't traveled with them, if you haven't...
How can you commit to not have an escape from them?
Yeah, to move.
That sounds so, bleak, but I don't mean, like, escape, but, like, how can you commit to spending 100 or 90% of your time with someone?
Especially when you're not just moving in together, but moving somewhere new together.
Yeah.
Where, like,
you're
are the 100% for each other for a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty, Especially when she's not going to have means to, like, take care of herself, really. There's also that part of it. Like, what does she do? I guess she'd come back to New York and go to her apartment. Again, so there's a real safety net here for Carrie, which I think it makes it easy for her to kind of... Miranda yells after her, you're living in a fantasy. And I think there's a grain of truth in that for sure, because that's kind of what Carrie's always done.
Mm-hmm. Bridget.
Yo.
Did you resonate with anyone in particular?
Well, Miranda and Carrie wanting to move and chase adventure when it's presented to her.
Yeah, very much she wants adventure in the great wide somewhere.
And
she
romance and to be paired tell. Up. And yeah, more than she'll ever know. I resonated with Samantha, and Samantha also being the like the other side friend who's like, fuck yeah, go on that adventure, chase your heart, you like him, do what you want to do, girl. Especially post-cancer Samantha, who is allowed to be like wise and salient and calm. And can't say I super related to Charlotte, but I do love puppies, you know.
Yeah, I definitely resonated with Charlotte, because I also see myself having to give birth having to
birth puppies in a tub and be jealous of your dog.
I definitely resonate with Miranda, I mean, and Carrie, though. I feel like if that opportunity was presented to me, I would have a hard time saying no.
Me too, especially if I had as few intense ties to sort out as Carrie did. Like, yes, leaving her friends is no small matter, but it's not like there's family. And it really, again, kind of comes down to the job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, if someone said that to me right now, I might even quit my job.
Yeah, I would do it right now. Except, like, it's just, like, hard because of, like, the thing we wanted. Like, Carrie's a writer. She can figure out how to be a writer.
Yeah, it's true.
It's sort of like...
I'm maybe too practical for that. I also just, you know how I feel about other people, like, paying for me extended. You know, like, I'm good, fine about accepting gifts. And, you know, like, I love that. I'm not that kind of intense about it. But, like, the idea of, someone paying for my apartment... And then paying for my life in a city, I would feel like kept, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think the power imbalance there is just, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Ploppability?
Pretty ploppable. I'd say most of it.
Yeah, it's like...
Carrie could just go to T-Mobile and have them put her on an international plan if needed, but...
It's also crazy to think about, like, how... Someone would have filmed Kristen Johnson falling out of a window.
Yeah, I thought about that a lot, too.
Like, that would be, like, someone would be like, oh, my God, this drunk bitch is giving a speech, and then whip out their phones, and then all of a sudden, she'd fall out a window.
Oh, yeah, someone definitely would have caught it on video. Wow. I don't know among the 35-year-old set. I guess
they're in their 40s, their 40s, 50s too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know. I feel like Carrie would have.
Probably.
But yeah, other than that, I'd say pretty ploppable. Again, I have a lot of questions about just like, oh, this dog's giving birth. That's cool.
Uh-huh.
Like, and not
very casual.
A doctor of any kind.
No. Any consultation. She doesn't even go to the vet. She goes to the pet store.
Yeah. I'm dubious about that. But yeah, other than that, you know, friendship woes are friendship woes, no matter what year you are.
Yeah. I think Carrie's had like, there have been like maybe like one real fight between each of them. She's had a Miranda fight now. Charlotte and Samantha have had a fight.
Miranda and Samantha have had like tension.
Yeah. You know, they got to spice it up. Keep them real.
Yeah.
Darren Stars.
I feel like, what do you think?
I'm going to say an 8.
That's what I was going to say.
Perfect. Then let's shake on it.
8 it is.
Done. It has been decided.
That's that. Do you have Delty's ups and Delty's downs?
Yes, I sure do. My Delta up was getting to see my friend Amy today, which was so nice and such a delight. And she's on a plane to Ireland right now, which I'm so envious of. And I said this to Brooke yesterday, but like I still have such Sunday blues before work, you know, starts again. And every week, Monday is not as bad as I think it's going to be. You know, it's still Monday, but I'm just like really grateful for my job. So yeah. Maybe I wouldn't quit it to go to Paris.
Nice.
And my Delta down is that no matter what I put on them and how much water I chug, my lips are just so deeply chapped.
Wow, I do not envy you.
It's not terrible. They're not cracking. It's just like constant. And I'm at my wit's end. So if you have miracle remedies, hit me up. Also, if the weather could just decide what it's doing, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it's a little chilly here, too.
It'll be nicer than where I am, so I will not complain. You, Brooke?
My Delta up is... Oh, I had one, and I forgot it.
What a roller coaster.
That's too bad.
Maybe start with the down and see what happens. It'll bring
my
you back
Delta
around.
Down. Well, my Delta, like... up and down is that
not a change.
Well, it's like it's a good thing, but I'm sad is that I finished The Fosters on Netflix.
Girl, yes, you've been on a journey. It's always really bittersweet to come to the end of something like that.
Yeah, I invested a lot of energy into them.
Mm-hmm. What's next?
And also that I don't know.
Okay.
I'm liking the like melodrama family teenager. I want
good
that.
To know. Yeah.
But my other Delta down is that Kyle left on Monday yesterday.
Oh yeah.
So
that's
now
a
I'm
big one.
I'm back to, you know,
Kyle-less.
I'm Kyle-less. I was spoiled. My Delta up is that I really like things are good, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm just like, my Delta up is that I had a day off today and like I did some work looking for some stuff online. But I mostly got to chill today and that was really, I needed it.
Yeah. You deserve
that. As you can hear from my voice, I am a tired girl.
How many classes yesterday? 4?
Yeah.
That's a lot of classes.
In a day, yeah. I'm probably really dehydrated.
Yeah. Yeah. Have more.
I have tea that I'm going to drink when we get off this pod.
Tea and Bon Appetit test kitten videos.
Oh, I forgot and then I remembered.
Test kitten.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Test kittens. Bridget.
Yo.
If I wanted to follow you on social media, how could I do that?
Well, you could find me on Twitter at Mrs. Burt Macklin, or you could find me on Instagram at BridgetM37, or you can find me on Napster. Just kidding. you, my friend.
You can find me on Twitter at Brooke_Wiseman, and you can find me on Instagram at BrookeWiseman, no underscore. And if you put an underscore, I will send you a DM with one letter every day until I make a sentence. And you won't know when it ends until I put a period.
Wow. What a weird middle ground drawn out torture. I love it. Don't make her do it.
And collectively, we are at
Splat Podcast.
Splat Podcast. On Twitter, Gmail, Instagram, rate, review, subscribe. Let us know if there's a show you want us to do after Splat. You have 2 episodes left of Sex and the City. Is there something you want to hear from us? Do you want us to go away forever?
In which case, I know a good forest we can move to.
We're going to move to Portland.
I was thinking of Vermont, where we went.
Oh, great. There are trees in both places.
There are trees everywhere. We love it. Save the trees. Love what you guys.
What a twist that would be.
Oh, what a twist that would be. That would be. Oh. Love you guys.
We love you guys. Bye.
Bye. Happy splat.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.